hope you're cozy at home in the middle of this snowstorm, but thank you for tuning in to our live stream. We've got a few people in the house today. Let them hear you. Yes, give them a hand because they ventured out in this weather so that we could produce this live stream. And hey, I want to tell you that our goal in the winter is to have church. Even in the bad weather, we have a number of people that have trucks that are, you know, born and raised in New Hampshire, willing to drive in stuff like this. And so we want you to know that we're going to try to be here and have a live stream for you, even on those bad weather days. But saying that, just because church is open doesn't mean you have to drive. So we want everybody to make their own decision, to have discretion, and to, most importantly, stay safe. But here we are, and this is crazy. 2 weeks in a row, we've had crazy weather on Sunday mornings, and I was praying this morning, even yesterday, Lord, don't you know that we're trying to have church? Like, God, this is for you. Like, you can do something about this weather. We know that you can. 2 weeks in a row. And it's a pastor's nightmare. It's a pastor's nightmare. Will people come back after they've been away for 2 weeks in a row? Will people continue to give? Will you give online? Roy gave you the ways to give. And I was thinking, what a perfect opportunity to check out Text to Give. It's so easy while you're home in your PJs. But this is what God said to me. He said, chill out, Kathy. He said, I know exactly what I'm doing. I know about the weather. I know it's church. You do your part, and I'll do my part. And he reminded me, Kathy, it's my church anyway. And I was like, okay, Lord, I gotcha. So here we are, and we're in chapter 2 of the book of Jonah. And I want to show you my favorite verse in the entire book of Jonah. Oops. Oh. Did I say chapter 2? What chapter are we in? It's been a long week. Give me a second. Can I just start over? Can you give me a second chance? Please. Okay, here we go. Let's pray first. Father God, I thank you for the message that you have given me through the book of Jonah. I pray your word, Lord, would go forth, even through technology today, as I'm speaking to so many online. Encourage us, Father God. Change us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So today we're in chapter 3. And I want to show you my favorite verse. Jonah 3:1 says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Type that in the chat or in the comments if you're online this morning. And many of you participated last week online, and it was so great. I read all the comments, and it really encouraged me. So the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. A second time. Is anybody thankful today for a God of second chances? Yes. Which brings me to this question. Did I actually mess up on the chapter by accident? Or was that on purpose to illustrate that we have a God of second chances? It just might have been an illustration. But if I mess up from here forward, it's for real, just so you know. Amen. Yeah. So before we dive into chapter 3, though, I want to review where we have been, in case there's those of you that missed the first 2 weeks. We've been in the book of Jonah, and we read that the word of the Lord came to Jonah and said, go to Nineveh and preach to the people there. And the people that God wanted him to preach to were very, very horribly wicked, I guess I would explain it that way. They would torture people, and I went into a lot of details last week. And so God told Jonah to go, and Jonah said, okay, God, I'll go. No, he didn't say that. He said no. And let me just show you on the map again what it looks like. One more time, Jonah was in Joppa, and God said, go to Nineveh, 550 miles. Jonah went in the opposite direction. He got in a boat sailing for Tarshish and went 2,500 miles. And so when he was in the boat, God sent a big storm, and the sailors in the boat, they thought they were all going to die, and they ended up throwing Jonah overboard, right, to try to save themselves. And then we get to the last verse in chapter 1 that said, now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. Hey, did you guys see the video this week of the kayaker in Chile? Wasn't that? I was like, are you sure that's real? Are you sure AI didn't do that? They say it's real. Go ahead and look it up. And I saw someone posted on the video, just go to Nineveh, man. Just go to Nineveh. But God provided a big fish to basically eat Jonah. And we decided last week when we talked about it that that doesn't really sound like a provision. It sounds like a problem. And so we learned, right? We learned last week that sometimes what we call a problem, God calls a provision. The Lord provided a fish. It swallowed Jonah up, and he's in the fish. And what's he doing? He's praying. We read last week that he prayed and that the Lord heard his prayer. But do you remember, did anything happen immediately when Jonah prayed? Nothing. Nothing happened immediately. He waited 3 days and 3 nights, and he's waiting and he's waiting. And we recalled this principle last week that while we're waiting, God is still working. And it's such great news for all of us that have been praying for a long time, right? When you pray, pray knowing God hears your prayer. Even if we don't see anything happening, doesn't mean God's not doing anything. While you're waiting, God is still working. And then last week, we ended with the last verse of chapter 2. Verse 10 says this, and the Lord commanded the fish, and he vomited Jonah onto dry land. And yeah, we decided that was kind of gross. The fish just throws Jonah up, and he's on shore, and he's alive, but he's a mess, right? His salvation is like some of ours, maybe. It wasn't clean. We've been through some stuff. He went through some stuff, and he's there. And, you know, we established he's in, like, fish guts and fish bile and just gross. And so here we are today now. We're in Jonah 3. And like I said, it starts with my favorite verse in all of Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. How many of you are thankful that we serve a God of second chances? We serve a God that doesn't just call, but our God calls back. He calls back. And just take a minute in your own heart and just tell God thank you. Because you're like Jonah. You couldn't save yourself. We can't save ourselves. Titus 3:5 tells us this, that God saved us not because of righteous things that we have done, but because of his mercy. Because we serve a compassionate God, because we have a God of grace, because we have a God that calls back, and we serve a God of second chances. There's not one single person that's ever been saved or will be saved by your own righteousness. Scripture tells us we're not saved by works. We're saved by grace through faith. So no one can brag about it. We're saved by the grace of Jesus. Jesus, the risen Christ. And we can thank God that everyone, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how dark your life is. It doesn't matter how much you've messed up. But everyone that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. Amen. He is the God of second chances. And he doesn't just call, he calls back. That, in so many ways, that's the story of the Bible, from Genesis all the way to Revelation. We serve a God of second chances. I'm going to show you some highlights. Just let it sink in for a minute, because there's a lot to look at. But God is a very, very gracious God. Adam and Eve, they sinned against God, but God displayed grace and made a covering for them. Moses murdered a man, but God displayed grace and still used him to free Israel. David committed adultery and then committed murder to cover it up. But God displayed grace. And when he repented, God forgave him and still called him a man after God's own heart. Rahab, she lived as a prostitute, but God displayed grace and used her to help protect the spies and redeemed her in the lineage of our Savior, right? Jesus. Zacchaeus, he was a corrupt tax collector. He stole from people. He was greedy, but God displayed grace, and Jesus came to his house for dinner, forgave his sins, and made him new. Then there's Peter. Peter denied Jesus three times, but God displayed grace and forgave Peter and reinstated him and used him to help build the early church. And Thomas doubted Jesus after the resurrection. But our God is a good God of second chances. Our God displayed grace and met Thomas right where he was in his doubt, in his need. And he gave him what he needed to believe. And I thank God. I thank God for my salvation. I thank God for his grace after my salvation. I thank God that he's a God of compassion, that he's a God of mercy, that he is a God of second chances. And so the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Now, why did he run away the first time? The word of the Lord had come to him the first time, and why did he run? Well, we're going to talk more about that next week in chapter 4. And I have to tell you, chapter 4 is a little odd. It's a little weird. Take my word for it. But come back and hear about it next week. Alan Gaskin is bringing the word next week on the last chapter of Jonah. And we're going to see very clearly why Jonah disobeyed God the first time. So the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Verse 2 tells us this. God said, get up. Everybody say, get up. Get up. And go. Say, go. Now say it all together. Get up and go. So he said, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. And now you remember in chapter 1, which direction did Jonah go? Did he go up or down? When he ran from God, he went down, down, down. Now the Lord tells him, you're not going down anymore. Now it's time for you to get up and to go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message that I have given you. Get up and go. So that word, get up and go, in the Hebrew, it means go now. It means go immediately. Go today. Go now. Go immediately. Go today. And I think here's what we need to hear. Whenever God speaks to you, whenever God speaks to us through his word, we need to do it immediately. To do it today, when the Holy Spirit prompts us to do something. And maybe it's to be generous to someone. And you know, we do this with like, is that God telling me to be generous? And then we this is what we tell ourselves. That maybe that's just the devil telling me to go bless that person. You know it's God. Of course it's God. The devil is not going to tell us to go bless somebody. It's not going to tell us to be generous. When God tells us, prompts us to do something, we need to do it now. I know when God prompts me to reach out to someone, to text someone that I'm, if we're so fortunate with technology because we can do it like that, right? somebody that I'm thinking about, somebody that I'm praying for, I do it right then and there because I'm afraid that if I don't, I will talk myself out of it. Well, maybe that wasn't God. Oh, well, maybe I'll do it later. I'm going to see if he just continues to confirm that. No, we need to respond. We need to do it now. We need to do it immediately. The first time the word of the Lord came to Jonah, he ran from God. He ran from God. And this time, what does he do? Verse 3 in Jonah tells us that he obeyed. He obeyed. Scripture says Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and he went to Nineveh. So Nineveh was a very large city, and historians tell us that there would have been about 120,000, maybe even more, Ninevites living there at the time. So God tells Jonah, go preach to these Ninevites. And these are people that Jonah despised with all of his heart. God says, go to Nineveh, go to this really large city. And he went there. And scripture tells us it took him 3 days to go through the city that he gave to the Ninevites. But before we talk about what that sermon is, I just want to pause and recognize right now, where are we in this story? We have to think about what's happening, the way that they are going to hear what I'm going to say to them. Ever been somewhere and you want to share about Jesus and you're just thinking already in your mind, they're going to reject this. They're going to reject me. I just know it. One of the things that I suggest is you do a little opener. Something creative to get people's attention. Like Jonah, he could have gone and talked about how he messed up, and then show people something that speaks to someone's need. Like, you know, God loves you. Kind of like what Kevin did in worship today. We are to him. You know, God has a wonderful plan for proclaiming, and here's the sermon. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. 40 more days. And Nineveh is going to be destroyed. That's his sermon. 40 more days and God's going to wipe you off the face of the earth. That's what he said. He might have said more. We don't have any record of it. But we know what he did say. 40 more days from now, God's going to destroy every one of you. Well, why is he doing this? Well, that's what God told him to say. God said, go tell them this message that I'm proclaiming. If you don't repent, then you don't get to stay here. And Jonah's probably thinking like, oh, this is just plain stupid. These people hate God. They hate me. They're not going to listen to what I have to say. There's no way that this is going to work. And some of us, I think, right now, we have someone in our life that we think there's no way that they're ever going to meet Jesus. There's no way that they are going to meet the grace and the love of Jesus Christ. You know that person. You're thinking about him right now in your mind, and you feel like they're so far away from God. There's no way that they will turn from their sins and surrender their lives to Jesus. They're too far gone, right? Well, I want to say to all of us, never underestimate what God might be doing in someone's life. And I've found in 20 plus years of ministry that oftentimes when someone looks very, very low, there's only one way they have eventually to look, and that's up. We can't underestimate what the Holy Spirit might be doing in someone's life. You know, maybe it's your dad, and you're thinking, nope, no way. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's one of your children. There's no way she's ever going to, or he's ever going to, come to the Lord or come back to the Lord. Don't give up. don't give up. I'm saying that to all of us because Jonah, he went and he preached this very short and let's say blunt sermon. And we get to see what happened. Verse 5 says, the Ninevites believed God. What? These evil, horrible, wicked people that were going around torturing other people. The Ninevites, they believed God. Now, there's a big difference between believing in God and believing God. And some of us, right now, some of us, we just like believe in God. Like, well, like, okay, I'm in church or I'm watching this YouTube video and, you know, I believe in God. I'm here. Just because you believe in God doesn't mean you believe God. But the Ninevites, they believed God. And James said this, and as soon as we finish Jonah, which is next week, we're going on to the book of James. So you can go ahead and start reading it. James 2:19, he said, you believe there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that, and they shudder. Believing in God is different than believing God. And some of us, the problem that we have is we believe in a loving God, but we don't believe that God truly loves us. You see the difference? Or you believe in a God out there that answers prayers, but you don't have the faith to believe that he'll hear the cry of your heart and answer your prayers. Or we believe that there's a God that saves the lost, but we don't believe that God will save that person that we're praying for. Don't just believe in him. Believe God. Believe him. Don't just believe that God can, but believe that our God. Believe him. Don't just believe in him. Believe him. And the Ninevites, they believe God. And verse 5 says, they believe God and a fast was proclaimed. And that means they're not going to. The king of Nineveh, this is the evil king that didn't believe in God. He rose from his throne. This is so awesome. He rose from his throne and he took off his royal robes and he covered himself with sackcloth. He covered himself in this sackcloth saying, God, I'm sorry I sinned against you. And he removed himself from the throne. Off the throne of your life. Say, I'm no longer the Lord of my life. I'm going to turn away from my sins and I'm going to turn toward God. And the word that we use, Jonah 3, scripture says this, let everyone call urgently on God. And the king says this, the king's like, hey, everybody, call on God now. Call on God now. You need him now. Call on him now. Don't sit around. Don't wait for later. Call on him now. And some of us, we've been putting that off. Excuses, right? Like, I'm going to wait until I get older. I'm going to wait until I finish having all the fun that I want to have. I'm going to wait till I get married one day. And when I have kids, then maybe I'll call on God. Maybe I'll wait till I really need him. Let me tell you, you need him now. We all do. We need his grace now. We need his power now. We need his mercy now. We need the Holy Spirit now. We need his love and his strength now. Right now. And the king said in Jonah, the king said, call on him now today with urgency. And the king said, repent. Repent really is a beautiful word. We don't like it. but it's beautiful. Re, it just means to turn. It's to turn away from going the wrong way. Turn toward God. And then pent is that which is, you know, the highest. Like think about like a penthouse suite. It's in the top floor. And we're turning away from, we're not going down, down, down like Jonah was. We're not going to go down anymore. We're turning away from all those things and we're looking up to God. And it's really, it's a turn in our heart. So it's a beautiful thing to repent. To truly repent, it's to change your mind so deeply that it changes you completely. Let me say that again. To truly repent is to change your mind so deeply that it changes you completely. I'm changing my mind. I'm not the Lord of my life anymore. I'm no longer on the throne. It's no longer about all my wants and my desires. It is everything God. Everything. I surrender to you. Jonah preached, and the nation, by the power of God, turns to him. The Ninevites, they've repented. And this is so cool. Listen to how God responds. The Ninevites, when they repented, let me just tell you first, if I were God, I'm not, and that's a really good thing. But if I were God and these people are repenting, I'm probably going to say, prove it. Let's see if this lasts. I mean, I want to see if you really mean it. I'm going to give you, you know, a year, let's say, to see if you're on good behavior. Because I'm not going to let you just take one day and tell me that you mean business today. I want to see it in action. And I just admit, if I was God, that's what I would do. Thank God. I'm not God, right? But this is what our God does. Verse 10, it says this, when God saw what they did and how they turned, how they repented, how they turned from their evil ways, he relented. He had said, I'm going to destroy you if you don't turn. And they turned, and so he relented, and he didn't bring on the destruction that he had threatened. I love that. I love that. Whenever they repented, God relented. Whenever they turned to him, God took back his threat to destroy them, and he showed them compassion. And in the same way, when we mess up, and when we mess up again, how many of you have a mess up again story? Right? I sure do. And so many of us, we have this thing that we really just don't want to do, and we do it again. God, I'm never going to speak that way, cuss that way again. You know, whatever it is, I'll never yell at my kids again. Like I lost my temper. I know that's wrong. I'm never going to do that again. I got caught up in listening to all these negative voices. I'm never going to do that again. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go look at that thing that I know I shouldn't look at and that brings me down a bad path. I'm not going to be mean to my spouse or harsh or derogatory, no matter how they respond or act. Whatever it is for you personally, maybe it's all those things. Here's the great news. When you mess up, the word of the Lord comes to you again. And you mess up again, and the word of the Lord comes to us again. God shows us. He shows you compassion. The scripture, I love this scripture in Isaiah 30. It's, I think, verse 18. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he'll rise up and show you compassion. The Lord, he longs to, he desires to, he wants to, he purposes to, he longs to show us compassion. He's not looking at us like, hey, I'm going to catch you doing something wrong. He's longing to show us grace. He wants for us to feel it when we turn from him. And when we repent, he relents and he shows his compassion. The word of the Lord is coming to someone again today. And the question that I want you today to ask yourself, and I'm asking myself the same question, it's simple. What is it that God is trying to show you? What's he saying to you? What message is he sending your way? Ask the Holy Spirit. Just ask him. And then talk about it with somebody around you. What is it that God is trying to show you? And there's one thing I've discovered in this in my own life many, many, many times. God in his goodness. I found that it's usually one of two things that God is trying to show me. Either it's a sin that he's trying to save me from, or it's an opportunity he's trying to call me to. Most of the time when God's trying to show me something, it's either a sin or it's something, you know, something that's dangerous to me, something in my life that's displeasing to him, something outside of his will for me that hurts his heart maybe, or that hurts others, or that's hurting me. It's a sin, and it could be pride, could be anger, it could be jealousy, it could be comparison, financial insecurity, greed, something like that. He's trying to show me something in my life that he's trying to remove or even protect me from. Or, and usually it's an and, not an or, different times, different things. He's trying to call me to do something like it's an opportunity. And typically it involves being more generous with either my money or my time or both. To be a voice of encouragement, to pray for somebody. So it's one of those two things usually. So what's he trying to show you? Ask God, what are you trying to show me? And the best news for all of us is the word of the Lord is coming to us again. He's giving us a second chance. He's given us another chance, multiple chances. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. He's giving us another chance. And then remember, with every chance from God, it demands a choice from us. Every chance from God demands a choice from you. Some of you, maybe you were close to God and you've kind of drifted. He's coming to you again. Some of you, maybe you've never really known. We serve a God of second chances. Our God doesn't just call, but he calls back. And maybe God is calling you again today. When Jonah turned his back on God, he didn't give up on the sailors in the boat, right? They're far from him. He didn't give up on the king who was on you. Our God is the God of second chances. And if you screwed up in your life, the Lord is coming to you again. And if you feel ashamed or you feel coming to you again, if you're away from God and you feel like you've lost all hope, you've been too bad, the word of the Lord is coming to you again. And if you think for just a minute, something like, after what I've done, after who I've hurt, after my dark past, remember God's grace is greater than your greatest sin. Amen. The Lord longs to show us compassion. He's given us another chance, and it demands a choice from us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just pause today and we say, God, thank you. We worship you. We love you. We need you, God. You are the only one worthy of our praise, and we want to respond to you, Lord. Here in the room and online, just take a minute and just ask God, just to yourself, ask him, what are you trying to show me, Lord? If you're willing to pray that prayer, what are you trying to show me, God? You can even type it in the chat or the comment section. God, what are you trying to show me? And then just listen. And some of you're going to know immediately. And if there's something that you think he's trying to show you and you're resisting it, it's that. Could be a sin he's trying to save you from, or might be an opportunity that he's trying to call you to. Probably both. Holy Spirit, what are you trying to show us? God, speak to us. We want to obey, God. Even if we've rebelled in the past, God, we want to obey. And God, when you show us, Lord, then help us to obey. And as today, as we just continue praying, I want to try to say this as lovingly as I can. As your pastor, I'm believing that there are some of you that you're what I call cultural Christian. You believe in God because we're kind of in a place where we think like we're good people, and we just should believe in God. But if we look at Scripture, we realize we're still kind of on the throne of our own life. We're still calling all the shots. We're still doing what we want to do. And that's not being submitted to Jesus. Jesus is the sinless, perfect Son of God who came to earth not to condemn but to save us. And he didn't come for the perfect people. He came for the broken people. He came for sinners. And it's really, really good news because all of us have sinned. The Bible tells us that. And we know it. We've done things that are wrong, and some of us, we might feel distant from God or feel some guilt. And he came for us. He came for us that are hurting and that are broken. He came for the lost. He came to seek and save those who were lost. And he went to the cross. Jesus on the cross, he was the sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus, the Son of God, he died in our place. And God in his mercy raised Jesus from the dead so that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord would be saved. And so there's some of you that are not following him, and maybe you don't. And I just want to say, do it today. Do it now. Go fully in. Don't hold back. call your repenting and you want to turn your life over to him, knowing that when you call on him, when you repent, he relents. When you call on his name, he hears your prayer. He's alone. So we're all going to pray that together. Heavenly Father, today, right now, I give you my life. I put you for me. Be my Savior, the Lord of my life. Forgive all my sins. I turn toward you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so I can know you and I can serve you. Thank you for new life. I give you all of mine. In Jesus' name, we pray. And we welcome you into the family of God. If you prayed that prayer today, your life is going to change. And we want to walk beside you. So let us know. If you're online today and you prayed that prayer, just type it in the chat or send us a comment. We'll respond to you. Don't forget, next week, Alan Gaskin is going to be here with chapter 4, the finale of Jonah. And pray for good weather. Joy Church, we love you all so much. There's nothing you can do about it. And we believe that the very best is yet to come. Have an awesome Sunday and a great week. Amen. You're welcome. You're welcome.